is the way you're living as an oikos, an extended family, is it easily and naturally reproducible by everyone and in any context? Do people know what they're doing? Do you know? Are you passing it on? Does it make sense? Or do they have the tools and frameworks to look at their own context and go, I know what I'm doing. I know where to go next. Are you moving beyond a holy huddle or a weekly meeting with your community? Even though we're going inward, the gospel causes our heart to go, yeah, but there's brothers and sisters that aren't here.
Welcome to the Everyday Disciple Podcast, where you'll learn how to live with greater intentionality and an integrated faith that naturally fits into every area of life. In other words, discipleship as a lifestyle. This is the stuff your parents, pastors, and seminary professors probably forgot to tell you. And now, here's your host, Caesar Kalinowski.
Wow, what a week it's continuing to be, and I really hope it's been a good week for you, not as busy as it has been for us, but I hope that you've been following along in the Everyday Disciple Challenge, and maybe you've been joining us live and watching the videos and being a part of that whole party, or maybe you've just been hearing it here in the podcast, which is great as well. That's why I've been wanting to upload and have been uploading these special episodes. So I hope you're enjoying those. I hope you've been getting through day one, day two, day three. Yesterday, we were talking about discipleship rhythms and how they fit all of everyday life, coming right off the back of our gospel identity on day two and what is discipleship day one. If you've not heard those, you really want to go back. These sort of are in a series. They help us build an understanding and some little practice steps along the way on making disciples in everyday life and showing you that you really can do this. You can, with a little bit of understanding, a little shift in your head, heart, hands, and a little bit of help and community and all that. So I hope you're following along. In just a little bit, I'll tell you about what we're going to talk about in today's episode, which is day four of the challenge. But if you've not joined us over in the podcast group yet on Facebook, I want to invite you to do that because that's where all the action is. And that's where the live videos and the commenting and homework posts, and we're giving out prizes and all that. So head on over to everydaydisciple.com/Facebook. It'll take you right to that group. And we'd love to have you, and you're going to love this. Okay, so day four of this special series, from coming right out of the challenge live, is finding the right missional balance in your life, right? Especially as you're transitioning from maybe some traditional forms, and then all that got broken with the COVID and the social distancing, and it's kind of off again, on again. How do we find the right missional balance, and how do we help those in our communities do the same thing? That's what we're going to talk about today, and I think you're going to love it, and I think it should give you hope and a little bit of a diagnostic tool to go forward, and it's going to be something that you'll probably use going forward a lot. So here it is. I'll come back at the end and I'll give you a few thoughts. All right,
man, I got so much good stuff and you're going to love this. This is kind of part two from yesterday. I'm going to connect more and more of the dots, and hopefully you're putting the process together of like, okay, this has changed my mind, my understanding of what discipleship is, how it flows out of our identity into everyday life. And I'm going to give you start to drop some framework on you, sort of kind of behind the scenes in a sense, like, how does this really work? And how do we move people along? How do we know what to do? Like, how do we know what to do with people? All that kind of stuff, right? So I got a lot to cover. Like I said, I'll have prizes at the end. And so you want to stick around because this live training with me, I'm going to give away. You have to be on to get that one. I'll have some other prizes. And I'm going to give away prizes like this weekend because I tend to give people extra time to get their homework in. And I got a bonus training tomorrow on People of Peace. I'll tell you more about that later. And then this weekend, I'll be checking in, seeing how you're doing, trying to answer questions. And yeah, and I'll be pulling some more prizes, some more homework prizes on Sunday. So anyway, but this one today, this big one, you're going to have to be here to be able to, you know, win and check it out. Okay. So let me go to my screen share. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Get to my notes. All right. Excellent. Okay. So today we're going to be talking about finding the right missional balance. All right. But let's go ahead and review yesterday. What did we learn yesterday? We learned that discipleship, like all of life, has both organized and organic rhythms to it. A lot of people seem to connect to that. I even came on and talked a little bit more about that in my sort of bonus live question thing I did. That's in the units section, right? You know, remember there's like that units button that's right below the sort of the top banner on the site, you really seem to connect with that. And it'll start to open you up to like how everything's discipleship. The second thing we learned yesterday is God's created the world and all cultures with common rhythms of life that we all have. So you're not thinking like, well, I like to do this or I do. Everybody eats. Everybody has a story. We're always listening to somebody. How well do we listen to people? How well do we listen to God? So we can practice these rhythms. These six rhythms give us handles for mission. I know for us, once we started seeing kind of all the world through these six rhythms, we never have to wonder like, well, how do I engage or what, you know, what's next? I can kind of use them as a diagnostic and go, well, I don't think we've been really living as missionaries into this rhythm very well, you know, or whatever. And we talked a little bit about always being in discipleship mode, that no matter who we're with and when, we're always in discipleship mode. We're either discipling people to what it looks like to submit to Christ and have joy and he's Lord, or I'm showing them more about what my kingdom looks like in the moment. And right. So, but we're always in discipleship mode, and that might freak you out a little bit. Some people flip out on that, but the truth is that it takes the pressure off. Because you don't have to think about like, well, as long as I'm intentionalizing these rhythms and trying to live out of my identity, what's true of me, growing in my gospel fluency, then you're going to be making disciples. You're going to be helping people move from unbelief to belief. I promise you, you really, really will be. Okay. So, all right. So today, let me back up real quick. I want to show you how to find balance in your life. And Jesus did the same thing. And this is how we get to live and lead and make disciples. And this is kind of ancient, but guess what? Going forward, we're going to need to be thinking about this as we go. Like, are we just waiting, holding our breath to go back to like, everybody's going to come back to the service? It's not happening. Not according to all the statistics and all the, you know, Barna reports and all this stuff. It's not. Some are, but not like, you know, right now they're thinking 30-something% are not coming back. But even going forward, we realized how fragile we really are if we kind of put all of our money on Sunday only. And so we want to be able to think, how do we balance our time out there within these rhythms, even with people? Now, maybe some of you've heard this before. Okay. But I'm going to explain this in some ways maybe that you've not heard before. So if you're like familiar with, you know, 3DM, that's where I learned this from Mike Breen originally, then you've probably heard some of this, but I'm going to connect the dots to up in out in a little bit different way. So just, you know, buckle up, stay tuned. Don't think, oh, I already got this, I'm gonna go do something else. No, keep your phones off, pay attention. You're gonna love it, I promise, okay? So I'm beginning the triangles. I like that. I use triangles for a lot of things. And this helps us see the way that Jesus split his time and focus. And like I said, Mike and Sally Breen kind of originally turned me onto this. So, you know, I wanna give credit where credit's due. And they explained that Jesus was careful to balance his time and his life between his relationship with the Father, that's up, that Jesus spent time with the Father, his relationship with his family, his spiritual family, his disciples, that's in, and his relationship and time spent with broken people who did not yet know the love of his Father or the encouragement of his family. That's the out sort of perspective, right? As disciples of Jesus, we also must regularly calibrate these sort of up in out expressions in our own community. And by the way, this works for like, I'm looking at my own life, I'm looking at my community, I'm looking at my church. How are we doing at up, right? Time connected to the Father. How are we doing at in? You know, really, you know, being a community, living increasingly like family. How are we doing it out? Are we outward focused? And sometimes you have to give a lot more attention to one of these than the other to kind of balance things out. All right? So this will become more clear as we get going. Now that you can sort of see these, right, all together, let me give you an example or two of each. Up, Jesus regularly went away to pray, talk with his Father, right, his dad. And when he prayed, he taught his disciples to pray, it was our Father. In, Jesus spent every day, almost every hour awake with his closest disciples, his extended family, if you will, that's who those were, that was like his oikos, meals, celebrations, teaching, praying together, and then out, Jesus spent a lot of time out in public proclaiming the kingdom, having meals with people. Some who even opposed him were at these meals, healing, serving people, blessing people. And so this up and out triangle is a simple tool, right, that many people have used over the years. I have too, to help find balance in their lives. And you can live with the same balance in, you know, in your relational time and investments with other people. And so if you know this, you probably, you know, have used it. Now, sometimes we kind of go, oh yeah, that's super interesting. I want to suggest that you maybe do a screen grab of this and or write this out somewhere, put this up. Like, this helps really understanding, you know, with your church community, with your family life, with your small group. Right now, if you were to give an assessment, in fact, I'll just ask you, you can put this in the comments. What do you think right now, as you pick, and you can just put in there, my church, what are they most spending time on right now? Is it up, in, or out? Right? Or what do you most need more of? Right? Yeah. Drop that in the comments. Drop that in the comments. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's what I've found. Most people, most communities, most churches need a whole lot more out. They do. Yep. They just need a lot more out. They were like, well, we're really doing up well, but we don't do out very well. And I would challenge you, if you think you're doing up real well, like really connecting to the Father's heart, then you'd be out there. See, oftentimes, like we talked about yesterday, our prayer times, we do all the talking and we think, wow, I'm really connecting with the Father. Are you? Because the Father's heart is that all should be saved, that all would come home, find a place at the table. So yeah, food for thought. Okay. Food for thought there. Here's another way to look at this same thing. All right, I'm gonna give you another way to look at the same thing. Maybe you've run into this too. My friends Hugh Halter and Matt Smay, who wrote Tangible Kingdom, and they're, you know, they planted lots of churches and missional communities and all that. They help people envision this a little bit different way. All right. They say it this way. They say you're looking for this intersection and balance between communion, community, right, and mission. They use three circles, pretty much represent the same up and out, but they use different language. Communion, that's worship and our connection to God. Community, that's our time spent in close community, like with our oikos, right? Our extended family, discipling one another, doing life on life. And then mission, that's outward. That's our outward expression of service and time building new relationships with new friends and others that God wants to bring into your community or family circle. Now, here's what's cool. The overlap of these circles, communion, community, mission, is where you find the sweet spot. You see that little red star there? That's the sweet spot. When you get a good balance here of communion, community, and mission, right, you find balance. You'll find focus and peace. And as you can imagine, it can be pretty easy to overfocus on one or two of these elements and neglect the other. Even your comments are kind of reinforcing that today. But I get it. I get it. All right. Some of you tend to focus on community and right now, we need it, but we can't get together, you know, but to the exclusion and the detriment of mission. That's usually what happens. Others may focus their community time primarily around worship or learning more about the Bible, but they lose impact in becoming a family with others or consistently heading out on mission to not yet believers. Okay. You get the idea. All right. Now, let me give you one more way to see this whole up and out thing and express these truths in this missional rhythm. And again, I'm going to use a triangle for this one. I used to be the director of an organization called the GCM Collective, Gospel Community Mission Collective. And here's how we would articulate, and this is really the same thing. These three elements are the same and their foundation, that they're the core we continually return to that consistently, at least in our lives, helps disciples connect to God in every area of their lives. Yeah. And that's what we're looking for, right? We're looking to move ourselves and help others move from unbelief to belief in every area. And we'll need to help people increase in the rhythms of living out the gospel together in community, living more and more like family. And it takes consistent growth, right? Now, let me explain this. Gospel, that's sort of our up expression. Here's how I would say it. Are you personally, are you as a family, are you as a community or church consistently reconnecting to the Father's heart and the truth of the gospel and how it speaks into your lives? Is the good news part of your regular focus and balance as a family, as a community? Okay, this is really important, right? It's the gospel that sets us free, the good news for everything. Are you spending time in community with others, increasingly living like a family? I'm not talking about, yeah, well, I'm in a small group. That's a meeting. Are you increasingly living like a family within the oikos, believing, not yet believing, people of peace, not sure? Are you growing in that? Spending more and more both organized and organic time together. And then mission. The mission's always discipleship. And so how clear are you on that? Like, does everybody in your community know we're only doing this so we can become more like Christ, so we can move from unbelief to belief in every area of life? And we're always looking for who's next. Who else can we bring in to this community and connect them deeper to the gospel? And see, you need all three. You need all three. Like, this is a three-legged stool. And if you pull one of the legs out, you end up with like some sort of weird distortion, right? Think about it. If you have a really strong community, everybody likes hanging out, you're out serving a lot, but there's no gospel connected to it, like consistently, well, then your own hearts are going to grow cold. Others are not going to know the love of the Father, trust Christ. You see how that you can't not have the gospel. What, let's say you really are digging deep into the gospel, you're in the word together, you're really growing in your gospel fluency, and you are out trying to find more people, but it's all like classrooms and you're not spending time like a family. You're not having meals together. You're not having fun together. You're not going out as couples. Well, see how that doesn't work? I'll let you do the third one yourself, but you see how this works? We need all three or we're going to be way out. And again, some of us will need to give a disproportional amount of time to one of these to kind of start to balance things back out. Discipleship happens in a gospel-centered community. That's how it happens. It doesn't happen in a class and then back to your American dream life or wherever you live and whatever you call it. It happens in a gospel-centered community that's living life together on mission. And this is because community doesn't have the gospel at its center and its purpose. It's just a social club. And it's when we really live out Jesus' mission that our true need for him and the gospel is revealed. See, if you'll take people out on mission, out serving people, out hanging out in community and building new relationships, they're going to mature faster. You're going to see their unbelief and their preference and their whining and all this, right? You're going to see where they're immature and where they need the gospel. It's when we get out there serving and when we get out there on mission is when our gospel need is exposed. Always tell people, if you want to be a mature Christian, if you want to be like Jesus, make disciples. Get out on mission. You're never going to do it just studying stuff in your head and hanging out. You got to get out on mission. Okay. Everything we've learned at this point has shown us discipleship's just, it's not, you know, an individual reality. It's a communal one. And, you know, so much of our upbringing for many of us, you know, our faith, our Christianity has been like this personal thing. You know, you make a personal decision for God. Like it's up to us to decide. He decided for us, right? I mean, yes, we do choose, accept, but it's a personal, you know, choice. It's a personal relationship. It's my personal quiet time. It's like people are like, oh, this is very personal. But that's not how Jesus did it. That's not how he made disciples. God exists three in one. We were created in his image. God exists in community. We were created to live in community. That's how we're going to best show the world, people, our neighbors, our family members, what God's really like. Okay. So we just can't do this alone. Okay. And so just so you can see the overlap here, let me just throw on the up and out overlap. That just kind of make it even clearer. Okay. So I've given you three different ways of sort of saying this or grouping these teachings and practices of Jesus together. As long as you're getting it, these are three key components that you'll need to teach people. Even though it seems so simple, you know, vision leaks, you're going to have to teach this and pull it out and use it as a diagnostic. They got to be taught. They got to be lived out. You're going to need to model this. People need to be reminded. You have to reteach it. Gospel community mission. See, these up in out triangles, they're a picture, right? That's a picture. But that picture becomes a mirror for us to go, oh, how am I doing in my life? Right? The picture becomes a mirror. And eventually, as we grapple with this, as we pray through this, as we use this in our own life, it becomes a window that we can then look through and look at our community, look at our church, look at my family life. How am I doing at leading my family up and in and out? Because they're not going to move to maturity without all three of those. So the picture first becomes a mirror. Hey, let's look in the mirror. And then it becomes a window to look at. Okay. To get a grasp on this and get started, you know, let's look at these three foundations and ask ourselves some questions, okay? And I want you to think of this in light of being scattered, you know, as the church and like really having to embrace some new realities, because it can be really easy to focus right now on just doing new things. Like we got to do some new stuff. There's balance needed more than ever right now. Some people are just focused on getting back to the building. Some people are like, I got to get people meeting together. So they're just ramping up small groups, but there's no balance. There's no gospel at the center. There's been no gospel fluency and identity teaching. So they're just going to be doing more, do to be, right? So let me go through these. Foundation step number one, okay? Growing in the gospel and in your knowledge of the Father. This will kind of sum up this. Living upward. Are people being trained in their gospel fluency? How can you help others grow in the gospel in ways they understand? Don't miss that. How can you help others grow in the gospel in ways they understand and can reproduce naturally without it feeling awkward or anxious? How are you doing that? Most people don't know how. Are folks in your community growing deeper in love with Jesus and closer to the Father? This is key. And if you're starting new works out there and wondering, what do I do as a church and how do I do this for the future church? Foundational. Please. We tend to go do to be. And we just want to like, well, let's gather up some groups. We'll call them missional communities and that'll fix it. It won't. Living upward, really key. Okay, living inward, foundation step number two, growing closer in community, living more like a family. Is the way you're living as an oikos or extended family, that's the word that's used in scripture for church, by the way. It wasn't a building, they didn't have any of those. Is the way you're living, is it easily and naturally reproducible by everyone and in any context? Or are you moving beyond a holy huddle, a weekly meeting with your community, right? You need to. Like a lot of times we go, okay, well, the Sunday thing's broke, so we'll move it to a midweek and just stick it in the house. And we'll even call them house churches. And all we're trying to do is reproduce sort of a, you know, not life-giving, non-discipleship-based sort of way of being, just mini church. That's not going to solve this. That's just a holy huddle. It's like another weekly meeting. Are you developing the natural rhythms of a healthy family together? A family that has God as their daddy and Jesus as their brother, and they're indwelled with the power that raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, right? In other words, are you having meals together and celebrations, and are you out serving together, praying, listening both backwards and forward? It's also key. Like, you can't skip this, or you're just going to end up with like mini church services that are at your house, and you'll say, well, you know what? We don't know what to talk about. We'll just stream the service. Oh my gosh, please don't do that. Like, let's just stream at our house. And then like, I don't know, make disciples, okay? And then third, foundation step number three, living outward, moving toward regular rhythms of discipleship and service. Are you keeping the mission of making disciples clear and upfront? And is it seen as something organic and a part of everyday life? Or do people think like, well, give me that 9-week study and I'll talk some people in my neighborhood into going through it with me. Then they'll be discipled. Boom. Wow. If that could work, Jesus would have done it. Okay. Doesn't work, does it? What are some ways that you can serve others and build new outside relationships? If you downloaded that sheet yesterday, that 30 ways, there's a lot of ideas on ways to stay connected and build a relationship, even now during the social distancing. It's 30 ways to stay connected during social distancing. I had some people last night tell me, hey, I went to that and I couldn't get it. It wasn't there. Or I had to put in my name and my email address and then it just looped. I went and checked it. It seems to be working fine. If you're having a problem getting that 30 ways, then let me know. But you might try a different browser, or you might try like refreshing, you know, your screen, or maybe like restart your computer or something like that. Okay. Side note. How do people, ourselves included, move from the things that we've been doing as the church, that's all they're used to a new framework, a new, new rhythms of discipleship? How do you begin to move people from where they are to where we'd love them to be, living as oikos, making disciples up in out, living out of their identity into the normal rhythms of every day? How do you move things from what they've been doing to a new framework and rhythms? And how do we start to shift things in our context with those that we love and we lead, right? I want to show you like real quick, this little framework. They're the five stages of how people move through this. And it's really detrimental if we skip any of them, okay? How you guys doing? You tracking with me there? Groovy. Great. All right. Hey, listen, if this up and out thing just went deeper for you, because we looked at up and out, and we looked at the circles and we looked at GCM, would you just put a little comment in the box, just put, all three or up and out? Let me know. Like, did that connect? Did that take something very, very simple and then, move it move it to, you know, a deeper understanding? I hope so. I hope so. Okay. Yeah. Let me know. Just jack something in the comments. I want to know you're still paying attention. You're still engaged because I'm rolling today. Like I told you, I have a lot of content. Barb says, I couldn't find the link. It's right in the homework post. And I showed it yesterday, but I put it in the homework post too. So go to the homework post for yesterday. You'll see everydaydisciple.com/30ways. Something's going on. Yes, this connected. Great, great. I want to make sure. Okay. Seeing some thumbs up, some hearts. Cool, cool, cool. All right. Let me keep us moving. All right. So here's the five stages that you're going to have to move people through. Okay. I'm going to explain this whole thing. If you want to see movement from one thing to another, from unbelief to belief, okay, from static to active, from traditional to missional, from consumerism to active participation, there are five stages that all movements like this follow, and you can't skip them. And we can't afford to miss any of these stages if we intend to grow and mature as disciples of Jesus, who then go on to make more disciples. So think of a situation you're currently in where you're trying to introduce changes or see innovation or movement happen. Maybe it's in your own life or with those you lead. Okay, think of a situation. Got something in your head? And now I want you to think about these five stages as I explain them and see how they naturally flow from one to the other and help create change and movement. All right. The first stage that everybody here, we all start here. It doesn't matter what we're learning, but if you're moving people to new things, okay, pay attention. Whatever it is, the thing you're thinking of. Stage one is expose. Expose. People, organizations like a church or a denom or whatever, they first need to be exposed to new ideas and new practices and structure, right? It's like, oh, I've never thought of that. I never heard that before. Some of you are being exposed to some new thought this week. And this may seem obvious at first, but often we try and lead people or organizations to adopt new beliefs or practices before they've really been exposed to new ideas or thinking long enough to choose a new possibility. We just kind of go, hey, our church is making some changes. Next week, boom. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. There was not enough time. You didn't really expose me. You just sort of said, go engage. So we need to make sure that they're exposed to these ideas and thinking long enough to choose a new possibility. Second stage is embrace. Okay. Some people will reject your new ideas when you expose them to them. Okay. But many will embrace them and accept them. Yeah, this is good. And this is where the head knowledge and acceptance moves to the heart. They're really embracing this, whatever it is you're trying to move them to or teach them. And this is key to all movements, because merely agreeing that something is good or true, that's not enough. It needs to be embraced. Like it needs to move from the head to the heart. Okay, stage three is engage. And some percentage of those, you know, people in your world, in your life, in your church, your community who embrace new ideas begin to engage and practice them. Like they go for it. But not everyone. Unfortunately, not everyone who embraces a new idea or a truth will act upon it. Sometimes people just consume and go, yeah, interesting. I agree. But then they won't engage it. They won't act upon it. And we all live with this sort of belief to action distortion. We agree with something, but we'll do little with that truth or the opportunity. Okay. Focus on those people in your life that actually engage with you. That's, you know, that's the yeast in the dough sort of principle that Jesus teaches. Those who are willing to step out when you're leading in new ways into community, into gospel fluency, those things. These will be your yeast in the dough within your community and organization. They're super important. Okay. Now, stage four is equip. Okay. Equip. Because once new practices are engaged in, so people were exposed, they embraced it, they went, yeah, let's try this. I'm doing it. I'm in. Once they're engaged, a need and a desire for more equipping will arise. Trust me. Because just because you talked about it and you're getting started doesn't mean they've been equipped in it. And, you know, and equipped to the point of succeeding and equipped to the point of being able to do it with others. That need for equipping sometimes will come out like, I'm loving this, but I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. And like anything we desire to grow in, at first, we don't really know what we're doing. We need to be equipped and then practice our new skills sort of out there in the field with others. And this engage to equip movement, it's really a loop that goes around and around as a person matures. In other words, you start to engage something, you start to get equipped in part of that. And that allows you to engage it deeper, and then you get more equipping, right? That's, it's a stage you move to, but it's really a loop. You're going to be in this one a much longer time when learning something new or moving to new ways, new practices, okay? And then stage five is expand. When fully equipped, right? When fully equipped, disciples and maturing disciples will expand out to expose and, you know, engage and equip others. And the cycle begins again. Once you've been fully equipped and you're maturing, you're going to start to expand outward and expose others to these things and help them engage it and start to equip them. I hope you're getting that. Okay. This is the first sign, really, that real change and movement's occurring. Just because you got people in the new groups and they're like sort of complying doesn't mean you've actually changed anything. Are they, do you have ongoing equipping, and are some of those people you equipped now expanding, exposing others and bringing new people into this, helping them embrace it, and they start to equip them? That's so important. Those that were first exposed, then engaged, have become equipped to the point of exposing and now equipping others. That's really the Great Commission in action. Explosion. So I want you to try this. Think through the five stages as it pertains to this, to leading a person to faith and becoming a mature disciple. Okay. Think about that. Like, okay, I've got a person of peace or someone in my life. Think about it, these five stages in light of that, or how these same five stages are needed if you're introducing new ideas and rhythms, like within your family or your church or whatever, right? Yeah. See, like right away you go, oh, maybe I've skipped some of these steps with people. Or think through how these stages unfold if you're trying to change your whole church or community from traditional practices or beliefs to more missional and outward focused priorities. If we skip any of these five, we're probably not going to get to movement. All right. Okay. So can you see where maybe you've skipped one of these stages before? Maybe even like since the whole COVID thing hit and you've had to try to do lots of adapting and changing and leading people into new rhythms and stuff. And you're going like, man, it's not, a lot of it's not working. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Have you seen that anywhere? Yeah. Have you seen, maybe I skipped, like I didn't even expose it. I just announced it and asked them to engage it. Right. Or like, I don't think I gave people enough time to embrace it. I didn't spend time with them and have meals with them and answer their questions. I just sort of said, hey, this is it. See this, let me explain. Let me draw this triangle or whatever. And then like, we're going to start doing this more. I don't know. What's it for you? Okay. Now, listen, I want to remind you, stick around. I'm going to be giving out the biggest prize of the week, but you got to be here. Okay. And you know, it's going to happen here in just a few minutes. Let's talk about what we learned today. Okay. Let's talk about what we learned about, and then I'll get to giving out some prizes. And I also want to explain something today on some ways we could go forward together. If you're digging this week and you go, man, you know, I'd love to be able to do this. It's hard making it this one time. Well, what if I gave you some super flexibility and how to learn forward? So anyway, I'll talk about that in a minute. So what do we learn today? Jesus' missional rhythm is up in and out. Yeah, it's up in and out. Mm-hmm. And it gets to be ours too. We talked a little bit about ways to get started with each of these. And if you get that download, the everydaydisciple.com/rhythms, that was on yesterday's homework sheet. It's also on yesterday's homework post. That gives you, here explains the rhythms, and then it gives you all these examples connected to up, in, and out. I mean, there's a lot of ideas there. You couple that with the 30 ways to stay connected, which are also kind of connected to these same ways, up, in, and out, and rhythms and all, you will see there's so many opportunities still. This COVID thing is not changing it. But I want you to remember that five-step stages of the framework, right? Like how you need to, don't skip ahead. These five stages we must move through and help others when making change. Yep. I'm going to stop sharing there for a second. How are you guys doing with this? Is this connecting? It working for you? Yeah. Sometimes we think like, well, I'm trying a lot of stuff. I've read a lot of books, but none of it's working. And chances are, guilty, maybe you have skipped certain steps with people, right? Now, would it be helpful if I could show you like step by step how to identify where you're at on your own disciple maker's journey? You know, what if I could help you? Like, where am I at in a lot of areas when it comes to these five stages, you know? And how to easily and naturally have a framework for discipleship in your life and in community? What if I could show you that? Okay. Would it be okay if I just took a few minutes to share an opportunity that I think you're going to love? All right. Would it be okay? Can you just let me know? Yeah. Like, could I just share an opportunity that I think you're going to be stoked about to continue doing some training together? Would that be okay? You know, and get more sort of help making everyday disciples in your life. Yeah. I'd love, thanks. Yeah. I'd love to. That's good. I can do that. All right. Great. And then after that, I'll give you your homework and I'm going to give out some gifts and all that. So let me go back to screen share here. And I'm going to tell you about this opportunity. I'm so excited about this. I can't even tell you. I am so excited about this. It's this thing called the Everyday Disciple Incubator. Okay. It's this thing called the Everyday Disciple Incubator. It's a thing we've worked so hard on. We've put, I don't know, countless, like hundreds, maybe thousands of hours into it. I don't know. And I just want to invite you to join me on an adventure. Really, an adventure to live this abundant life that Jesus promises us. We've been talking about all week. This, you know, but this adventure, it's also a challenge. It's a challenge to help others walk in the ways of Jesus, not just sort of be content with consuming stuff or maybe, you know, witnessing once in a while, but like, I really want to help people walk in the ways of Jesus. So I'm challenging you that, you know, I want them to be set free from performance-based spirituality. I want you set free from that. I don't want you locked up in a Christianity that's based on sin management anymore. What if we could hang out together and I could give you regular training, answer your questions, and let you hear from other expert practitioners each month? And you could do this all at your own pace. Okay. So here, welcome to your safe place to learn and grow as a disciple maker. It's this incubator, right? It's warm. It's safe. You're going to be really, I'm going to take such good care of you in there. The Everyday Disciple Incubator will give you a framework for discipleship that'll fit your everyday life for you, for others you lead. Okay. You'll have all the tools you need. And inside the incubator, you're going to get results. I promise you, we are obsessed with helping people move forward and actually do and be and find joy in it, all that. And that's because this incubator, it's not just a huge pile of training videos and materials that we dump on you. You know, there's some other, you know, people offering it out there where you can like subscribe and every month, you know, you can just access a million things, but then you're kind of left with, well, what do I do with that? What order am I putting stuff in? Like, how do I do what? And what if I have a question? And you know what I mean? And so there's good materials out there, but it's not a full framework and it's not a community to walk with, you know? So the incubator is an intentional framework of training plus encouragement and support and community. And we've crafted this whole thing to produce a unique experience that'll motivate and inspire, and it'll pull you. It will pull you towards your goals. And it's really a place that's been designed to care for you as you learn and grow. That's what it is. And you know what? I'm going to give you access to like my 20 plus years of experience in making disciples, planting churches, global church leadership, helping others build out community. And I think you're going to be amazed at just how practical all of this will be for you. It really is. We've spent years training this and we've broken it all down now in ways that are super easy to digest, always pulling you forward, a full framework so you always know where you're at, okay? And it's access to training, step-by-step guides, milestones, like this would be a milestone in your journey here that, you know, moving towards discipleship in all of life or building out community or moving your church toward it. Action steps connected to those milestones, all designed to be easily reproduced by you in your own context. Okay. By the way, everything that's in the incubator is already working in like 30 plus countries that we've trained this in. And it's an amazing community. Okay. And accountability system, all committed to helping you move forward and get results. That's the thing. Not just watch a bunch of stuff, not just get exposed, but get results and make progress. You know what? And maybe more importantly, it's about tapping into a deeper understanding of how the gospel speaks into and transforms everything in life. The gospel really, truly lived out in everyday life with others. All right? You tracking? So let me explain how this goes real quick. Week one of the month, okay? Because what this is it's like I'm going to give you a login and you're going to log in to like your sort of portal, your like dashboard. Okay. And each month in the incubator, we follow this pattern. Week one of the month, boom, a new module, a new training, a different training, right? Sequential but also telling you, depending on where you're at, okay, here's your action steps and here's what you need to do. Okay, week one is it's action-based learning module with videos and worksheets. And I promise I will not give you more than you can handle. Okay, we've trained thousands of people in this framework of discipleship, and we've learned that small is big and slow is fast. So you're going to get plenty, but I won't overwhelm you. I don't want you getting behind. I want you to be able to get your worksheets every month, watch the modules, do the action steps. But then we're going to encourage you in this and take it even further. Week two of the month, we'll go live in our private incubator sort of online group in Facebook, but also in your incubator dashboard. And that's when you'll get your on the ground live video interview with proven leadership, you know, in discipleship and missional living. You know, I'll be interviewing those people who I know who are, you know, they're disciple making practitioners and leaders. Some of them are thought leaders. I'm fortunate that many of my friends are famous authors that have created a lot of this stuff that you read and all that. And so you'll be hearing from on the ground practitioners, people who are making disciples, about what you learned in the module that month. They'll take it deeper and say, well, here's how we've doing it. And here's where we failed. And here's what we learned. And some thought leaders and all that. And I'll be interviewing those people, and you'll be learning that month and, you know, connected to what you're learning. And I want you to hear their, you know, wins and challenges and all that. So that's week two. Every month you'll kind of get a lesson, but it's live. And then I'll put it in your dashboard. Week three is an action week. This is your sort of get it done week. You'll work on what you've learned so far that month. And not only that, you'll implement things during, you know, the whole month, but this is a week to catch up. I want to make sure that you have time to fully engage what you're learning and not feel overwhelmed or like you're getting behind. I don't want you feeling like you're getting behind. So that's why I said we will not overwhelm you. So first week, you're getting a new module training and action steps and a worksheet and all that. Second week, you're going to hear from thought leaders and practitioners. How are they doing it? What are they doing? And it's live, so you can ask them questions. Pretty fun. And then week three is an action week. Then week four, I drop a video in your dashboard for you, and we call it Missional Mentor. It's where I answer any questions that have come in through the month, okay? Any connected to that topic or anything else. Like, hey, we started doing this, what you teach in the module this month, and we're running up against this now. So how do I solve that? And so I collect those throughout the month. And, you know, they might come in through the Facebook group, the private Facebook group for the incubator. They might come in through emails. Even if they've been answered sometimes in the Facebook group by the community or myself, I'm going to go deeper. So I do a recording, a Missional Mentor, and I answer all that stuff, and boom, I load that up into your dashboard, and that drops on the first Monday of the month. By the way, all these steps, boom, they'll drop in on Monday, your first module, boom, you know, on the ground. Dude, we're doing that. So you'll always get emails. You're like, oh, I'm forgetting. No, you won't. We won't overload you, but I'm going to send you emails for each of these. Okay. All this stuff will kind of be dripped in. Now, you're also going to get a better together community, because we're going to be in this private Facebook group together, you know, because being surrounded by a community of people on the same journey as you makes discipleship and community and initiating change a whole lot easier. It just does. And some people won't engage that, but I think smart people will engage all the help they can, and they'll be the type of disciple and disciple maker that they're hoping their people will be. I want to invite you to really take advantage of this community and be an encourager to others, because we're in this together, and we're always smarter together than we are apart. I'm going to give you some access to practitioners. I'm going to give you some access to people who are thought leaders, Q&A, all that. But I want to give you some bonuses, because I was like, what else could I give people? What else could I give you that is, you know, going to help? Okay, so here's a bonus for you. It's a virtual men's group experience. I'm also going to give you a ticket to this, all right? If you enroll in the incubator today or this week while it's open, the registration is only open for a few days so we can get to work. But I'm going to give you a ticket to this. I call it outside the box men's group experience. And that's because what I'll do is I'm going to teach you, you know, how we spend time on a monthly basis with men in our community. And we call it cigar and theology. That won't be everybody's cup of tea. I get it. What you'll learn in there, though, you can morph that. If you go like, well, nobody I know smokes cigars, or I don't believe in that, or, you know, whatever. You do it how you want. But I've never done this before, but I'm going to do it virtual. As soon as the you know, restrictions open up just a little bit, I'll drop you an email and I'll invite you to this. And what we'll do is on the night I do it, I'll go live. I'll explain everything you're about to see. Then as the guys come over, I'll have multiple cameras and, you know, mics and stuff, and you'll be able to hear what's going on. Yep. And then we get done with Cigar and Theology. You'll see this whole process where I lay out basically how we discover the gospel in all of life with men. And then the next morning we'll have breakfast together from my house. And then I'll explain to you like, okay, what did you see last night? And I'll train you in how to do it. Then I'm going to send you a book, a resource, so you can start like immediately. I've actually done this out of my house. People have flown in from all over the world and done it with me. I think every single one of them have gone home and done it, you know, their own version of it. Now, the other thing I'm going to give you is this Story of God fast track training. Yeah. Okay. We train everybody in the story. We get not yet believers through the story. We do this in community all the time. I've done it hundreds of times. Tina and I have. I'm not joking. We always see people move to, you know, from unbelief to belief. We always see people come to faith and put their faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. And they want to be a part of this community. And right away, they want to know like, hey, how do I get my friends involved? I've never done this training in a live virtual way. I fly all over the world doing it. People pay me $2,500 plus flights, plus hotel, plus food. All right. It's expensive. And I've never done it live, but I think I've cracked the code on maybe how to try it virtually. Okay. I mean, I've done it live. I've not done it virtually. And so you'll get access to join me online for this really interactive training. Okay. I promise you, this will forever change the way you teach. Okay. Bible. It really will. It has for us. So there's a whole lot of value just in these bonuses. There's a whole lot of value just in these bonuses. So you're wondering like, okay, I'd like to be in, right? Who says, man, I'm in? Like, this sounds great to me. Is it $1 million? Of course not, because we want to get as many people in as we can. See, Tina and I coach couples, and it's $300 a month to coach couples. But for some people, that's just a bridge too far financially. So we spent years kind of crafting and building this so we can get more and more people in. You ready for this? Check it out. It's only $37 a month to be a part of this whole thing. Yeah, part of the whole thing. A new training, a different training, sequential every month, talking to practitioners, talking to thought leaders, your action week, all the tools downloadable. The video, by the way, goes up. I also put in the audio so you can download that. People love doing that. People are like, man, I watched the video, but then I'll play it in my car a few times. I hear it again. I'll give you the audio, download it right in your phone or wherever you want. Okay, $37 a month for the whole incubator experience. Okay, all you have to do is super simple is first grab a spot in the incubator. Okay. Go to this URL here, right? everydaydisciple.com/incubator. There's a page there. We'll explain lots and lots. Maybe you don't even need more. Then just click on I'm ready. Really. You don't have to sit there and read it all, but there's tons of more info that I'm not going to take the time to. Second step, after you grab your spot, start to engage fully in the training and in the community there online with us. Okay. Like, get encouraged, be an encouragement. And then third, start to experience clarity in making disciples in everyday life and having a full working framework, always knowing where you're at. Everybody's at a different place. You'll see our discipleship like journey. Like, it'll always tell you where you're at and what you should be doing and working on. That's what's unique about this. Okay. I think you're going to love that. Okay. So it is $37 a month. Oh, by the way, too, I just got to tell you, I don't really push this or anything, but some people want this. And so we've added it. If you want to pay for the year, okay, so you can just pay the, you know, 12 months worth of this, I'll send you this shirt. I'll send you this Everyday Disciple shirt. And surprising amount of people go like, yeah, I'm in, I'll do that. But if you just say, no, that's okay, I'll just do the $37 a month. Just so you know, you can cancel it anytime. So if it ain't working for you for whatever reason or something, I don't know. But that's not been the case. Like, the vast majority of people are going, I am loving this. And you'll see there's all kinds of testimonies on that page. You don't need those. I don't know. We've been hanging out. If you're liking this and you feel like, man, I'd like more, but you know, I can't make a live thing all the time, then this will be your thing. Go to everydaydisciple.com/incubator. Now, hold on a second. I'm going to make it even sweeter for you. If you join today, because we're here doing this, I'm going to sort of twofer this for you so you and your spouse can do it together. Okay. This is like a personal sort of membership subscription into this, but I'll let you share it with your wife. She can log in using your husband, your spouse. They can log in using your login, but you'll send me their email address and I'll email you asking for it. I will allow them into the private Facebook group as well, so they can see all the live stuff, ask questions, engage the community, encourage people. So pretty amazing. All of this for $37 a month, but I'll twofer it for you. You'll get the one login you can both share, and then I'll give you both access into the private group. Okay. I hope you'll join me in this. I really will. Like, you can cancel at any time, but I don't think you're going to want to. And so far, most people aren't. We've had a few. That's it. Literally, like since September. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Now I want to give you your homework. All right. Homework for the day. Just like I've been doing, I will give you a post to put your homework. It'll have this image, day four homework, boop, little guy on a balance beam there. And here, and post your homework there. You guys have all been getting it. Okay. You can always look in the units too. Boom. Or in announcements, make it real easy to find. All right. Oh, here's a reminder for this. Take a screen grab of this. Don't forget to get your downloads of the six rhythms all connected to up and out. Don't forget to download the 30 ways to stay connected during social distancing. All right. Don't forget to get those. There again, I'll put this, these links again in your homework, like post. Okay. They're also, I'm pretty sure, in your homework download. Okay. So here's the homework. And boy, stay engaged. And then in just a second, I'm going to give out prizes, and I'm going to give out that big prize. Which are you most inclined to, you know, toward in your spirituality and relationships with people? When you think about your spiritual community or your own bent, your life, are you more up or more in or more out? Like, just maybe you say all three. Well, what are you most inclined towards? Just good self-awareness, right? Okay. Now, I want you to pick one idea from the worksheets, okay? So that's why, you know, I gave you this little list here, right? So you have to download these. I want you to pick one idea from the worksheet that you've not tried in the category that you need to most grow in. Okay, so if you go like, hey, I'm most inclined towards up in out, but I'm not so good on out. Okay, great. Then look in the sheet, pick an out idea, right? And then I want you to do that. I want you to do it today or put it in your calendar. And then when you post your homework, say, I'm doing this and I'm doing it this afternoon, or I'm doing this and I just put it on my calendar. It's Saturday afternoon or whatever. Okay. Does that make sense? Which are you most inclined to, up in or out? Then pick an idea from the worksheet that's in a category you most need to grow in, and let us know what that is and what you're going to do exactly when. So I don't like seeing homework where like, I'm going to start trying to think about working on maybe getting around to X. Probably ain't going to happen. Like, intentionality. Let's make these baby steps together. All right. Here's the download, you know, for today's homework sheet. We'll respell all this out. Everydaydisciple.com, day four.
Okay. Wow. That's supposed to be the wrap up of the challenge, but there's so much more. There's so much more we could talk about. And in fact, I will in the next couple of days, I'm going to do some bonus trainings. But just talking about today's training, I hope that is helpful to you, this whole understanding, a deeper understanding of up in, out, and gospel and community and mission. And so that is a tried and true lens that, like I said, in the training picture, this triangle, right, can become a mirror for us. How am I doing at this balance? Then becomes a window to then look at, you know, community, at my church, at other things. So I hope you're seeing how all of this has flows together from, like, what is discipleship, and tweaking our understanding of discipleship and evangelism. And, you know, it's the process of moving from unbelief to belief in light of the gospel and everything. So we're always basically evangelizing our hearts in the moment towards Christ, onto maturity, all of that. And so that's a big deal. Then we, you know, see how that connects to our identity, though. Now, if we live out of our identity, like, we really believe I'm God's beloved son or daughter, and we're a family, and we've been sent and empowered as missionaries, and we're servants like Christ, well, that changes our posture so much with, you know, people, how we see them, how we teach them. You know, we don't put targets on people, all that stuff. So all of this has changed everything. And then we looked at the rhythms, the six rhythms, how we begin to live this out and the life we're already living. So we never get to say anymore like, well, I'm just too busy, or I'm having a bad week, or whatever, because there it is. And then today we looked at this balance of, okay, so then within all of this, are we getting time with the Father? Are we growing in the gospel? Are we hearing the Father's voice? Are we becoming more like a family with those who God's bringing in? And are we always out
like serving and on the lookout for more people of peace and people God's bringing in. So, so important. Okay. So if you've been tracking along all week in the challenge, but you know, just here in the podcast, you've not made it over to the Facebook group, you still can. All the training will be up till the videos will be up to through Tuesday night, I think. Yeah. And so you can still go over there, everydaydisciple.com/Facebook, and join the group. And you'll see, go under units, go under announcements, whatever. You'll find all the training if you want to see some of the slides and all. There's a lot of visuals going on there. But if you've been listening to it here and you still feel like you're getting a lot out of it, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I'm glad you have. I really am. I'm glad it's been helpful. I hope it's been encouraging. And I want to extend that invitation to you as well. Please consider joining me in the Everyday Disciple Incubator. It really is your safe place to learn and grow how to live in light of your gospel identity into all of everyday life, be disciples in all of life. And more importantly, it's a full framework for how you'll disciple others, right? And start to grow in spiritual freedom, relational peace, believing what's true of the gospel in all of life and helping others do the same. So I hope you'll check that out. Again, all you have to do to kind of read a whole lot about it and enroll in the incubator is go to everydaydisciple.com/incubator. Mm-hmm. Everydaydisciple.com/incubator. And that'll take you there. Okay. So I will see you soon. I hope to see you inside the incubator with us. All right.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on this show and to get loads of free discipleship resources, visit everydaydisciple.com. And remember, you really can live with the spiritual freedom and relational peace that Jesus promised every day.